All righty, we are back. Sheriff Errol Toulon Jr. a bit later on, and David Birdsell as well at a Baruch on last night's festivities at Drake University in Des Moines, Iowa. First, though, we lead it off with the town councilwoman representing the great town of Riverhead. Her name is Jody Giglio. Always a welcome addition on this program. We say a very happy new year. Jody, how are you?
Happy New Year, Jay. How are you?
I am doing quite well, and a lot happening within the tent. Did I read properly, by the way? Are you interested in the first senatorial spot that Ken LaValle is vacating at the end of the year?
Yeah, and you know what? Ken LaValle has been a great representative for the town of Riverhead and for his district, and it'll be, you know, following in his shoes for anybody that is gets the assignment of that position to run for that seat is a large task and great shoes to fill. He's represented us well. We're sorry to see him go. But, yes, I am going to be screening. I'm honored to be considered as one of the candidates that they are interested in putting up for that race. And I'll look forward to the screening with Suffolk County Republican Committee and also New York State Republican Committee.
Great seat. And of course, you know, a lot happening up in Albany, you know, left and right. Here we go, you know, divide, trying to get things done, you know, bail reform at the center of it all. I mean, there are a lot of issues. Are you ready to take on that responsibility if selected?
Absolutely. I have been meeting with the DA's office, with the sheriff's office, with our chief of police, with corrections, even with our Democratic senators up west, to see if we could get some, you know, relief for this bail reform. I mean, we cannot keep letting these people out of jail to recommit crimes. I had written a letter to the editor in the local papers here and also to Newsday. Newsday, you know, didn't print it, but the it's a big problem. And when I talk to even the nurses that are in the infirmaries in the jail, these are people that had serious problems that were in the jail, and they're all out on the streets. It's we have a lot of crime. We had somebody that got run over on Main Street, and they fled the scene. They picked him up the next day, and, you know, he's out again. You have this incident that just happened in Belport with this five-time convicted drunk driving that was picked up, let out, and then, you know, killed somebody. It's, you know, 27-year-old life taken. And all the other horrific stories that you hear that are happening in New York City and all throughout the island. But we have a great representative that are having press conferences that are making people aware of what's going on, and people are angry. They're calling their state officials, and they're saying that we want this repealed and we want it looked at. The jurisdiction and the discretion has to be in the hands of the judges. Our local judges and our local justices here, who I've also met with, they know these people that are being picked up and brought before them on a daily basis. They know the ones. They tell me that the 70% of them, 70% of the people that appear before them figure it out, and they work it out, and they don't see them again. It's the 70 to 90 that are questionable that need to be sitting in jail thinking about what they've done wrong and get the help that the jails offer them for drug addiction and for other services that the jails provide, whether it's finding them a home if they're homeless, if it's getting the mental health if they need it. And then the other 10% just do not belong in civilization. They belong in jail.
So agree. Absolutely agree.
Yeah,
and you know what drives me crazy is that the people who are true backers of this bill, you know, they don't want to come on radio and talk about it. You know, when I hear from a state senator like Michael Gianaris, I know I'm kind of going off kilter a little bit. We'll get back to Riverhead stuff in a second. But when I hear a guy like Gianaris, you know, who's basically using the word fear-mongering and anecdotal as far as what the press, you know, is putting out there, I laugh. I said, are you kidding me? You know,
it's
you
real.
Bring up the Belport guy. The Belport guy is a template why this thing has to be repealed. This Jordan Randolph character. You know, this is a guy, as Jody said, he was charged with drunken driving, the fatal crash, and the William Floyd. He had three priors, by the way, three prior convictions for DWI. All in the last 8.5 years, okay? In jail, out. In jail, out, in jail. I mean, come on. if this guy isn't the example of why this thing has to be repealed, I don't know what is, to be honest with you, but it's guys like Senator Gianaris that drive me crazy.
Yeah, and when I spoke before the Suffolk County Alliance of Chambers, they didn't even know in mid-December. They didn't know that this was even happening. It was so quiet because it was just built into the budget. It was passed. There were no public hearings. There were no elected officials. There were no representatives of small towns like Riverhead that have to spend $500,000 just to get the computer-aided dispatch system so that we could communicate with the other small towns, Southampton, Southold, Shelter Island, you know, the villages and the small towns. It's very difficult to spend all the money. The police officers, we had our installation dinner this last Saturday night, and the police officers were coming up to me one after the other saying, this is how bad it is, and this is how long it takes to process one person, only to watch them walk out the door, and how frustrating it is for them. And then when they don't show up back in court and a warrant does go out for their arrest, these guys are looking at this person. They know they're going to pick that person up. They know that who that person is. They know they're going to pick that person up on a warrant, bring them back in, and let them go out again. Our justice court has to notify these criminals 5 days before their court date in their preferred in their language that they speak, which means we may have to get interpreters. We have to get interpreters in their language that they speak and in their preferred way of being reached, whether it be by cell phone call, a text message, or an email. And if they don't answer the phone, it's like we're at fault for not getting the proper information. So then they come back to court and they say, oh, I lost my phone, or, oh, I, you know, didn't get the text message. And they get another bite at another shot at it, and they're let back out again. It's worse than worse. The worst part about it is, you know, if you have domestic violence and you finally press charges and you go down to the sin and they let you go, where do you think that person's going? They're going back home. When you're in a crime scene and somebody burglarizes your house, they have the right to come back into your house and inspect the crime scene. The defense attorney and the defense get all the phone numbers and information on how to contact the people that are the witnesses to the crime.
That's disgraceful, really. I'll tell you one thing, one last thing for me on this. You know, when you hear Mr. De Blah Blah, the progressive phony that he is, manning the controls in New York City, when you hear the quote-unquote mayor telling us that this thing needs to be fixed, that's when you know there's a problem. Because, you know, he loves everything that is liberal beyond. You know that. And the fact of the matter is it's a mess.
In the city where this 35-year-old woman gets her teeth knocked out by somebody, and he goes to, they take him in, they let him out again, he assaults somebody else. Then they found this pipe on him with the K2, which is like a, it's a chemical, it's a drug, and it makes you mentally ill. They keep letting him out. Who's paying for this woman to get her teeth fixed? Meanwhile, they're giving out MTA cards so that they can get on the subways. They're giving them tickets to baseball games. They're giving them, you know, food certificates. I mean, who's paying for this woman's teeth, for her dental bill? Because this guy is out on the street assaulting people.
Mess. Absolute mess. So hopefully something, we have State Senator Anna Kaplan, who is the only, I give her credit, because not too many are facing the music here as far as what to do. She'll be on with us on Friday, so we'll see what happens there. We're talking with Jody Gigley, of course, councilwoman out of Riverhead. So let's get to some stuff out in the East End. Yvette Aguiar is the supervisor, Laura Jen Smith out after a term. Listen, you ran in some great campaigns out there, Jody. You almost took care of Sean Walter a couple of years ago. You almost had him. Give me the reaction. Were you surprised? Did anyone know this was coming? What was your reaction with Aguiar over Laura Jen Smith there?
I worked harder on her campaign and on this this group that just got elected. I worked harder on their campaign than I've ever worked on my own campaigns. They're a great group of people. They are going to take charge of this town. I mean, Yvette is doing a great job. Her law enforcement experience is in working with our police department and coming up with solutions. And Frank Bayrod, our farmer, who's focused on farmland preservation. And then we have Tim Hubbard, former law enforcement, and Catherine Kent, who's a former teacher. So I think we have a great group. Me, being from the business world, you know, I'm focused on getting the EPCAL subdivision done and getting that property sold and getting that property on the tax rolls. It's been a burden to Riverhead taxpayers for the last 20 years since we've owned it. And the day we close, we're getting $3 to $4 million a year in property taxes on vacant land alone. And in meeting with some of these companies that they plan on bringing there, like ULC Robotics, who I'm speaking to on a regular basis, and another company that is actually converting all the UPS trucks from diesel to electric. And that's already underway. But they're coming up with this innovative technology, and they need places to manufacture. So we're drawing them in here. We're finding them places. You know, ULC Robotics is working on tunneling underground, fixing gas pipes while the gas is still in the pipe. You don't have to shut the gas off. They send a robot in, and it'll actually detect where the leak is and fix the pipe. They have these drones that are going to be going up on utility poles. Just like they do the robotic surgery, they're going to be doing it on the utility poles. So, you know, the danger of the men and women that are on the side of the road in the bucket trucks trying to fix the utility poles and, you know, traffic congestion that it causes, those operators of those buckets that are up there fixing will be using the robot to actually fix the wires up on the poles. So some great things, you know, the wind turbines that are proposed offshore, whether you agree with them or not, or whether you think that they'll produce enough energy or not, you know, is, I guess, it's in the works. So that, they'll actually send these drones out that have sensors underneath them to detect if there are any whales in an environmentally sensitive zone to stop construction. But it'll allow for construction on the wind turbines, like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And these drones, this Vulcan, will actually go out and inspect the wells. So it's really innovative technology. I mean, so back in the day when I used to watch the Jetsons and say, that'll never happen, it's happening.
That's unbelievable. Councilwoman Jody Gigler with us. You know, I've been covering Riverhead a long time, Jody, as you know. I go back to the days of, 2001, when Mr. Kazakevich was in the role of a supervisor, then Phil Cardinale. And, you know, I've always said, to me, you define the supervisor of the town of Riverhead as far as what happens with the crown jewel of the East End, that being EPCAL. If you can somehow create the the tax rolls, as you mentioned, everything else. If you can create occupancy over there, you're doing your job. In my opinion, you get another term if you do that. Do you agree with that? Do you agree with the fact that, you know, if you can kind of figure it out regarding EPCAL, guess what? You're a winner.
Yeah, and you know what? In the past, we've had, or for the past administration, I should say, that project has, in my opinion, been stalled. But Yvette Aguiar is taking it by the horn. She is running with it. And we are going to have this property sold this year. I'm sure of it. And, you know, I term out in 2021 because before I ran for office in 2017, I said I put up legislation for term limits before I ran. So I termed myself out. So I will be here through the end of 2021 unless I am successful in gaining the nomination for this Senate seat. And then gaining the Senate seat. And I have a lot to offer the first district as far as my knowledge and what I've, you know, the taxpayers of this town have elected me and given me the knowledge to get into all of these subject matters that affect the quality of life and the issues that people in the first district are facing. So I'm looking forward to sitting down with the screening committee and then hopefully getting the nomination and going out and talking to the taxpayers about what I can do to help them in the first district.
One thing about EPCAL with Luminati, I was on your side. When you were chastised for going into Manhattan to do your job and vet those folks properly, to me it didn't make sense. I don't know why you were chastised at all. You were doing your job. What about Luminati? Where do you find fault with it all as far as this deal kind of going up in smoke? By the way, is there a chance it could be resurrected again? as far as this aerospace company, give me the latest regarding 555, Illuminati, Preston, the whole nine yards here.
Okay, well, 555 partnered with Illuminati to create CAT, Calverton Aviation Technology. So Calverton Aviation Technology, we're working on the subdivision now to subdivide the 1,600 acres into eight lots. And Riverhead will retain a lot of those lots for our water district, our sewer district, and then we'll be selling off the other lots for development to CAT. And I think that the aerospace is coming back with those companies that I just spoke about, you know, the electric engines and the robotics and the drones and the unmanned aerial vehicles and Department of Defense contracts. And, you know, there's so much out there that the federal government is looking towards as far as future technology and how to better man what's happening in the world. So if you recall, back in 2014, I gave a presentation to the FAA because they were looking to consolidate. They were looking to create the next-gen facility, which is the TRACON, which would be the Westbury facility and the ISLIP facility into one. And I gave a presentation to them, to the architects, to the engineers of the FAA, to the real estate broker. We had our sewer district there. We had our water district there. We had the utility companies there talking about the power in the streets. We talked about giving them 50 acres, you know, and asking them to come here with those 800 high-paying jobs to help our market values here locally and to bring a great thing that would bring secondary businesses along with the FAA. So I'm hoping that that is still on the table. I know that every time I see Congressman Zeldin, I talk to him about it. And, you know, Riverhead and the Epcal property was in the running for that. So if the FAA comes and we get CAT to close and they bring in ULC Robotics and the other companies that were present that at the qualified and eligible, then the aerospace industry will be recreated at the former Grumman site, you know, and which is known for the aerospace industry. And we will we'll move ahead with it, create those high-paying jobs. I mean, the tech jobs is where it is today for our kids. And then the next focus is we're updating the master plan here in Riverhead. I didn't feel like we needed to do the whole master plan, but I wanted to look at Route 58 with these big box stores going out. I see it as an opportunity to preserve farmland and create affordable housing, because we do have the sewer lines that run along Route 58, and my campaign is called Pavement to Green, so where we can rip up the pavement, rip up those big box stores, create, you know, two-bedroom townhouses or condominiums in garden-type settings near the hospital for the hospital workers and for our youth for a couple hundred thousand dollars. On my Facebook page a couple of months ago, I witnessed a 3D printer building an 1,800-square-foot house. It cost them, I think they said, $9,000 for the walls. And they have space in between the walls to drop in the plumbing and the electric. If you could build a house for $100,000 and you're entitled to build one house per acre on Route 58 for affordable housing, we will give you additional density as long as it's affordable. So a couple hundred thousand, $250,000 for a condo or a townhouse that you would own that's connected to sewers. But in order to get that increased density, you would have to buy a farm credit. So you would be creating affordable housing, and you would also be preserving farmland at the same time. And the waste from the housing would go into the sewer district, which would be good for our environment also, especially with our $24 million upgrade that we just did that really takes out all the nitrogen and the bacteria.
It's a great deal. It really is. A couple of minutes left with Jody Giglio, town councilwoman out of Riverhead. What about the schools? I know they're facing a lot of problems out there, Jody, overcrowding. They need renovations. I mean, do you think the residents, I was reading about these two separate propositions, you know, near $100 million or so, all aimed at repairs and renovations. What about the residents? How do they feel about that? You think that'll pass?
I don't think it's going to pass, but it's there is a rally this Saturday at the high school at 12 o'clock, and it's they're running out of space. And Riverhead, where all the other school districts' population is dropping, Riverhead's is growing. And I see that as a problem with the state, because Riverhead is doing our part in preserving land and preserving farmland, but we get penalized for that with our school district because the state looks at us as land rich. So we don't get as much aid from the state for our school district as we should because we preserved all of this farmland and all of this land, which is good for water quality. So we get penalized. We don't get the aid. But meanwhile, our school is busting out the seams, and all the school districts around us are losing population. So we need help. I mean, Riverhead is a very dense senior population, and the seniors are livid because they're not sending kids to the school district, and they can barely keep up with their taxes now because the Social Security is not going up, but their tax bill is going up every year. And 65% of your tax bill in Riverhead is the school district. And the school district has a job of educating children in a safe environment. And when you're going upwards of, 30 children in a class, it's not a good environment. When you're shoulder to shoulder in the hallways trying to get from one class to another and the time being limited based on the curriculum, it's very difficult for our educators, and it's difficult for our students, and it's difficult for a learning environment. So we need the state to kick in. We need to figure out why our school is overpopulated and why all the other schools are lower in population, and they're getting a higher percentage of funding than Riverhead is.
Questions have to be answered there. One last thing. Listen, we've been talking about helicopter noise and reroutes and everything, for years now. And it falls on deaf ears. No pun intended, but quite frankly, no official has gotten it done. I know Lee Zeldin has fought vehemently and everything else. Do you see any breakthrough regarding this in this coming year?
Yeah, it's very frustrating, but we have to keep the pressure on. I mean, you have more and more summer homes that are being created on the East End. East Hampton Airport, what they do next year as far as whether they keep the airport open or shut it down based on the what the FAA, their agreement with the FAA is up next year. So they need to either say, okay, we're going to continue operating as an airport or we're going to shut it down. If they continue operating as an airport, it'll continue to be a problem. If they don't, I think it'll be less likely that people will be traveling on the North Shore route. They'll probably be going on the South Shore route. But, when you have Governor Schumer's representative coming to a meeting that we had in October, I believe it was, at Riverhead Town Hall, and we had a packed room of people that are affected by helicopter noise, then you have Schumer's rep saying that Schumer supports an all-water route, then make it happen. Make it happen. The transponders are going to be a requirement, as of January 2020, the transponders are supposed to be a requirement on all, air traffic vehicles. So, or planes. So, those, or helicopters or seaplanes or whatever it is. What the trick is they shut off the transponders for a second and turn it back on. And by the time it reboots, what they were doing that was wrong is not tracked anymore. So I think that they're not going to be able to do that anymore as of the beginning of this year. But we've had all of our elected officials out on the East End, and Southampton doesn't want it on their side. And they're supposed to be coming in one way and going out the other way, and they're not doing that because you're tracking them. And when you see the traffic pattern of these helicopters and the seaplanes, it's disheartening. And we have the Northville tanks out here, too. God forbid there should be an accident where one of those planes lands on that site over there.
Listen, all I could tell you is Senator Chuck is full of hot air. there has never been a camera he hasn't loved. By the way, I noticed yesterday as he railed against the President of the United States on his ongoing stuff with impeachment, I noticed Chuck might have had a little Botox yesterday. Now, listen, I might be wrong, but he loves looking good in front of that camera now. And I'll tell you this much. All this stuff he said that has never come through regarding the Northport VA Medical Center, I mean, come on. It's disgraceful already. Enough is enough. The promising of 700,000 to 800,000. I talk about it all the time on our vet show. He never comes through when we need him. And I'm so sick and tired of it. He never does. He just loves the camera with, you know, he loves standing with Nancy Pelosi. That's Chuck's claim to fame lately. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, and I got to tell you though, he's looking pretty good though. I like some of the stuff he's done facially to himself, but outside of that, I'm sorry.
He's not doing anything. He's not doing anything out here to help us with this helicopter traffic, and he could if he wanted to. And, you know, with the President of the United States, when I remember when he was putting his first budget forward and they were blocking it and saying, we're going to shut down the government unless you find a fix for DACA, for the Dreamers, right? They have not focused one bit on that campaign. Their primary focus is impeach the president, and now we're in a hold pattern. It's what's happening on the federal level is happening everywhere, and there's a lot of anger out there, and people need to come together and work together for the people. You know, like I said, I was working with a Democratic senator from up west who is a good friend of corrections, and she was trying to get the bail reform changed, but was unable to. And then you look at what they did with the automatic voter rolls last week on Thursday. What they did is they, with the driver's licenses, on the form, on the voter enrollment form, it automatically enrolled them to vote, whoever was getting the driver's license. Now it's, you can opt out. There's a box that you have to check off to opt out, saying that you're not a legal citizen and you shouldn't be able to vote. So if you skip that box and you don't check it off, you're automatically enrolled. It's what's happening on the state level, since there is no balance in power. Since the Assembly, the Senate, and the governor are all controlled by one party, there are things that are happening that the public is not aware of, such as the bail reform, and they're bad. They're bad for our communities, and they're bad for our environment. And I'm glad that our senators and our Assembly people that are on the other side are bringing it to everybody's attention, because the people need to know what's happening, and we need to get balance back in power.
A lot of people don't realize how rotten a guy Carl Hasty is as the speaker up there in Albany, who does absolutely nothing. Still feels, by the way, on this, 15th day of January? You know, he'll tell you, well, we're only 14 days into bail reform. Give it time. Okay. You do that, Carl, and let me know how you make out with that. Jody, always a pleasure. Let us know what happens in Senatorial 1. We'll keep an eye on that, all right?
Definitely. Thank you, Jay. Have a great day, everyone.